Torah never says you can't eat basar b'chalav. It doesn't say lo sochal basar b'chalav. The Torah says in three places the following: lo savashel gidi b'chalevi mo. Don't cook a lamb in its mother's milk. That's what the Torah says three times. Chazal were makabel masora Torah shabal peh, that it means three things. That's why it says it three times. It doesn't only mean a lamb in the mother's milk. It means any kosher mammal, domesticated mammal, in any kosher domesticated mammal's milk. Those mammals have milk. So it only applies to mammals that have mother's milk. It only applies to something similar to a gedi, which is a domesticated animal. It doesn't apply to a deer or a wild animal. Okay? From the Torah, what you're not allowed to do is the following. You're not allowed to cook kosher domesticated mammals' meat in kosher domesticated mammals' milk. That's the issue. First issue, cooking. The actual cooking is also, even if you don't plan to eat it, you don't plan to do anything with it, you're in cooking school. And you, what's it called, you're in a Goyish cooking school, and they tell you to cook, you know, what is it, some kind of meat with a sour cream sauce cooked together, right? You're not allowed to do it. Even if you don't plan to eat it, and Goyim will eat it, well, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to cook it. The cooking is also. That's the first issue. Second issue. The second issue is eating the product of milk and meat cooked together. You're not allowed to eat it. Even if you didn't cook it. Somebody else cooked it. 100% kosher meat, 100% kosher milk cooked together is usher. What cooking means, we'll get to. What does that mean, cooking? Okay. But in any case, mixing them together with heat is, you're not allowed to eat the product. That's basar b'chalav. And the third thing is, you're not allowed to have any enjoyment from it. You can't have any benefit from it. If you have basar b'chalav, you can't sell it to a guy. You can't give it as a present to a guy if he'll, what's it called, be beholden to you for the present. You can't give it to your dog. Therefore, you have to be careful when you buy dog food that you shouldn't, what's it called, it shouldn't have basar b'chalav. We'll see that it's pretty rare that that should be the problem, because many times the meat in dog food is horse meat and not mammal meat, not kosher mammal meat, right, or swine or pig meat or whatever, which anyway is what's it called, not usher b'hanoah. So if cooking, eating the product and having any enjoyment is from the Torah, but that's only where the prohibition, the thing was cooked, and it's prohibited from the Torah. If for some reason it's only prohibited rabbinically, then you're not allowed to eat it, and you're not allowed to, what's it called, but you are allowed to cook it. If it's only rabbinically prohibited, there's no issue of cooking, and you're allowed to enjoy it. You're allowed to have an enjoyment from it. You could sell it. You could give it to your dog. Okay, where it's only rabbinically prohibited. But that we'll get to. Also, another thing specific about basar b'chalav that's unique is the following. Let's say you have some meat that gets some pig fat mixed into it. Okay? So you have a spoonful of pig fat that gets mixed in with a lot of meat, with 2 kilo of meat. Okay. And now, what's it called? That meat gets mixed in with something that's more than 60 teaspoonfuls of kosher stuff. Okay? So you don't need 60 times that big piece of meat, because the only thing that's usher is the pig that's absorbed into it. So if you have 60 times the teaspoon of pig fat that went into this meat, the meat's usher. But the meat is only usher one teaspoonful according to the whole meat. So proportionately, whatever portion of that meat was mixed with something else, you can nullify it with 60 times as much of one teaspoon. Because the whole meat isn't prohibited, it's just a teaspoonful of chazer that is permeates that meat. So you only need 60 times a teaspoonful to be mavatal it. But if you have a teaspoonful of milk and it gets mixed in with meat that's less than 60 teaspoonfuls, okay, that whole thing becomes basar b'chalav. It's not asr because there's milk in it, and it's not asr because there's meat in it. It becomes a new prohibition called basar b'chalav, and the whole thing is basar b'chalav. Now you need 60 times as much as that entire piece in order to be make it mutter. Not 60 times as much as the milk. If the milk got mixed in with 60 times as much meat, then it's nullified. But if the milk and meat weren't 60 times one more than the other, and the whole thing became prohibited, then it's not just that the milk in it is prohibited, or the meat part is prohibited. If the whole thing now becomes a chaticha nasa nevela, the whole piece becomes iser, and in order to be matur, you need 60 times as much as the entire piece. Not just the amount of milk or the amount of meat. It becomes a new compound, like, and that compound is awesome. Okay. What else about basar b'chalav?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So what the Rav said about the kisar hanah, that means nowadays, if someone wants to buy pet food, does it not need a hechsher?
Pet food, you can probably be somach on the ingredients. So the things like this, most times, even if it's milk and meat, it could be the meat or the milk is not kosher milk or meat. Even if it is, it could be that it's not mamish cooked. We're going to get to what cooking minat Torah is and what things are prohibited only midrabanan. And most of the time, it's not mamish cooked. It's one of the other processes, and therefore it's not also minat Torah, only the rabbanan, and therefore it's mutar to feed to a dog. You don't have to have enjoyment. So there are many reasons why, unless you know for sure that it's aser, that probably it's not going to be aser. So it doesn't. They don't have yet hechsherim. I always said that you would have to have probably a K9 hechsher on dog food to be matri.
I haven't seen it, but I heard that there is.
There is such a thing, a K9?
No, there is a hechsher on dog food.
Yeah, I can believe that. Probably it's Yoshin too, and it used to be that it was enough just to look at, but the truth is that it used to be that people thought it was enough to look at the ingredients for themselves too, right? People's grandparents who were from, right, they didn't have all the hechsherim we have today, and they looked at the ingredients and looks okay to me. And they were somach on that. So today nobody would have, who's serious about kashrus would look at ingredients, especially today. Today is, you have no idea what looks innocent could be really bad off because of the way the chemical industry is. But so maybe we're reached a new madrega where you need the hechsherim on dog food.
And we're not supposed to have dogs, so that's
the
problem.
The reason not to have dogs is that the Gemara says you can't raise a bad dog. A bad dog doesn't mean a dog that bites, a dog that scares people. And dogs that are left hefker or used by children that scare other children or other people or pregnant women, those kind of dogs are aser. Dogs that doesn't apply to, right? There was a time on the Moshav where because we had a problem with dogs running loose and scaring people, and including pregnant women, which is the worst of, because that's what Gemara gives an example, but even regular women, men, children, and people let their dogs roam around, or they put them in the hands of their kids and they use them as tools to terrorize other children. We said no new dogs on the Moshav because of that problem. Since then, Baruch Hashem, the problem has almost gone away, even though today I saw a dog, somebody's dog that was running loose. I was coming home, and it looked like it was the woman who was being attacked by this dog, or the dog was barking at her, was really terrified. So I started honking my horn at the dog to scare the dog. The woman later on said she wasn't really afraid of the dog at all. I think she was more afraid of my honking the horn. But in any case, the problem has, for Baruch Hashem, been very, very much reduced. And people who keep their dogs tied up, behind fences where they don't intimidate people, then there's nothing wrong in some circles, especially with Holocaust survivors, dogs are looked upon as an anathema in itself. But, like I always like to say, Kohanim own dogs. The Gemara says that Kohanim fed their kodshim, shadlikishvil, kodshim that were nifte, lachilim, the klovim, or whatever. So must they have dogs to feed to. And a Kohen's dog, he trum, or whatever. So they had dogs, they had guard dogs, whatever it may be. But it's only if it's not a threat or intimidates people. And Baruch Hashem, what's happened now is we don't really have dogs roaming around intimidating people, because we made a point years ago to say that there can't be any more new dogs or whatever. And if it gets to a point where it's going to be a problem again, we'll do it again. But at this point, the people who have the dogs keep them pretty much not roaming around, keep them, responsibly, and therefore there's no reason to make a big deal. But at the point years ago, there was a real reason to make a big deal, because there were dogs roaming around and people not taking care of them and letting them run loose, or putting them in the hands of children that, again, used them to terrorize other children or adults. So that was the union of dogs. So essentially, there's nothing wrong with having a dog. But the Gemara says if it's a kelev ra that scares people, then there is something wrong with having it. And when the situation becomes one where the tzibur has to make a takana because of the situation, then we made it. Where the situation doesn't apply, then we look the other way to a certain degree.